9, Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Number 179, the blue hymn book. Let's all stand together as we worship the Lord.
Father, my God, we do thank you for this time we're sharing with you the like precious faith, Lord. What a great privilege it is. What a great privilege it is, Father, to be able to worship this morning without the fear of the authorities breaking in on us, Lord. We take this for granted, but in many parts of the world, they cannot do this, Lord. And we just thank you for that privilege. Amen. Thank you for Resurrection Sunday, Lord, You went to the grave, but you didn't stay in the grave. After 3 days and three nights, Lord, the Bible says, he arose, thank God Almighty, he arose. And because he arose, because he lived, we can live also.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for each and every one here this morning. Thank you. Hope that they will keep in mind what today is all about, not just Easter bunnies and not about watching on the boardwalk and your Easter bonnet and all that, Lord, but it's about the resurrection of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Christ says, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down, and if I lay it down, I have the power to take it up again. And we thank you, Father, for that statement, because indeed he did. He took it up again, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. We thank you for that, Lord.
Amen.
We thank that we can lay all of our sins at the foot of the cross, and that you forgive, and you forgive forevermore, Lord, not just sin today, but yesterday, tomorrow, and forever. And we thank you for that. Thank you for Pastor Rice and his family, Lord. We thank you for the service they do here at Northfield Baptist Church, Lord. Thank you for this place in the corner, Lord, that people can come and hear the gospel and get saved and go out and win others to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for each one of us here. Thank you. What a glorious time it is this morning, Lord. Thank you for seeing Brother Roy walk in, Lord. We're so thankful to see this gentleman walk in, Lord. And we just pray that you will give him many more years here on this earth as he witnesses. And just his walking in, Lord, and just what he's done for our country as a soldier in the service, Lord. And now he's a soldier in your army, Lord. And we say thank you for this gentleman. We just pray that you might continue to be with him, heal his body, Father, that he may even give more service to you. For Sister Pat, Lord, I think she's going to be here today. We thank you for her. We thank you for how you blessed her, Lord, and we pray that you might continue to heal her, Father. Just be with us all this day, and we'll continue to give you the glory, the praise, and honor. But all comes from you, and all of God's people said.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Let's sing number 176, Christ Arose. Number 176. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord.
All right.
Let us sing it out with triumph and conviction. 176. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, men and boys, sing that second verse, and ladies, join us on the chorus.
Vainly they watch his death, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they feel the death, Jesus my Lord.
Everyone!
Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his Lord. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Ladies and girls, on the third.
Hallelujah,
Christ, Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. At this time, we'll direct your attention to our bulletin. If you need a bulletin, raise your hand. We'll get one to you. Before our program this morning, our Resurrection Day program, our Easter program, we're looking forward to that. On the bulletin, it says, He is risen, Matthew 28:6. Beautiful picture there. You can put that on your fridge. You're already for Easter. And you have your decoration up. Just put this on your bulletin. Beautiful bulletin cover. If you need a bulletin, raise your hand. We'll be happy to get one to you. I want to welcome each one of our visitors here with us today. We are glad that you are here visiting with us. And some are gone from here visiting their family, but we get others who are visiting their family here. So we're glad to have you. And we're going to start with Brother Roy and Sister Carol. Would you introduce your family for us?
Well, from left to right, on the end is Brian. He's our Florida son. That's how I usually refer to our kids. Of course, you know Roy. This is our grandson from Kentucky that most of you know, Braden. Then comes our Kentucky son, Timothy, and our Kentucky daughter-in-law, Erin.
Amen. Welcome, Brian, Braden, Tim, and Erin. Good to have you with us. And they brought a special gift from Kentucky. Tim and Erin, they brought the crown of thorns this weekend. It's beautiful. You'll have to tell us the story behind that because that's pretty neat. Yeah, we want to hear it.
We have a very ugly tree on the farm where we live. And the trunk is filled with these thorns that are like up to 6 inches long. The whole trunk and then all the branches also produce these thorns that each year we've made these crowns. And specifically this year, I made three of them, which is a little difficult to do. But I really felt like the Lord asked me to bring one here, actually for Carol. But when I got here, she said, oh, Jeremy would love this. He's been wanting one of these. And I think that's the reason why I needed to bring one.
Amen. We were just talking about it last week, so it's neat how the Lord works. We already have the nail, we have the other things, but we needed a crown of thorns. Amen. God put different symbols in His creation. You know, all you have to look at the holly berry and the Easter lily and to see the different symbols of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection in His plants and the sand dollar. If you have a sand dollar from Florida, you know, you break that open, there's five little doves inside, you know, and you have the cross on the front and on the back you have the poinsettia, you know, so it's, God has put a lot of neat symbols in His creation. It's all there for just people to see. It's so beautiful. All right, then on this side, it's good to have each one here with us. It's good to have Patty Campbell back with us after about six, seven, how long has it been, Patty?
Since July, I think.
Amen. So let's give Patty a hand. She's back with us. Amen. And how are you feeling? Wonderful. Amen. Well, we're praying for your complete and full healing from cancer. And God is able. Amen. So we're so excited that she's here with us today. And Brother Danny and his family back with us. And how's the house?
Just about that. I got cabinets up, countertops yesterday, so they're getting ready to put in this week.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And your family's coming, right?
My parents were supposed to be here on Friday, but there was a family issue that they had to attend to, so they're going to be delayed by 2 more weeks.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Get just in time for you to finish. So, amen. Amen. Let's pray for Brother Danny and his family. It's good to have each one of you here with us. Just by way of other announcements, we have a special birthday today. We have our oldest member in the church turning 95 today. So I'm going to ask our deacons to come at this time, and we're going to go to him and make a presentation to a member of our church who has served faithfully as a deacon for over...
about 15 years, so we're so thankful for the service of the Lord. And I'll leave it to the deacons now to share.
Only we'd like to commemorate this day, especially, of course, first of all, we remember our risen Savior. First and foremost of all things, regardless of anything. But we do have a special birthday, and that is Deacon Emeritus Roy Gibson, who's 95 today. We'll wish him happy birthday. I don't know, Roy, can you come up here?
No, we'll go to him.
We'll go over there. Yeah. Well, let's go back. Do you want to read that, Todd?
The Lord will continually guided you. Roy, just for you. And God bless you.
And on the back of the road, happy birth, 95th birthday, Roy Gibson.
On the back of it.
Just by way of other announcements, we have our Easter flowers provided in memory of those in the insert page. In the insert page of your bulletin, you'll see here who the tulips and the lilies have been donated in memory and in honor of. And let us pray for each one of our families, even the ones that weren't able to donate this year. Pray for all of our families as we have lost loved ones, that the Lord would continue to comfort us. And we know that if they were saved, that we'll see them again. And we praise the Lord for the hope that we have in Jesus. Then on the right hand of the bulletin, come on back tonight, as we look at our hope in Jesus confirmed from 1 Corinthians 15, as Paul goes through there, what would have happened if Jesus had not risen, and then what has happened because Jesus has risen. So let us look at our hope tonight in 7 o'clock to 8:05, 8:10 for that time. Then next Sunday is April 28th, our business meeting Sunday. We also are making it Baptist Heritage Sunday, looking at a little bit of Baptist history and seeing where, sure enough, the first distinctive of being a Baptist is biblical authority. And why we are Baptists, because of biblical authority. We don't go based on church tradition. I don't care what Baptists or any other groups have done in their past. It's what does the Bible say as our rule of faith and practice. And so that's the first distinctive of being a Baptist, is what does the Bible say? That's our authority, and that's our only authority. Then on the back page, we have our Teen Talents for Christ coming up Saturday, May 11th. That's for all 5th through 12th graders. We're having an Olympic competition here, but we're adding in young men preaching or giving Bible storytelling. If the young men want to preach a 5-minute message, or if they want to tell a 5-minute Bible story, they're welcome to do that. And the girls are welcome to do that as well, the teen girls, to teach a Bible lesson. So we'll split off during part of the day on that Saturday. We'll have the ladies go with the girls, and they can, the adult ladies will be judges, and the girls can share their Bible stories, present them, and in here the boys and men will do that. And so just a great time to emphasize the spiritual competition as well as the fun competitions as well. Then our Vacation Bible Time theme this year is Time Lab, Discovering Jesus from Eternity Past to Eternity Future. looking forward to that, Monday, July 1st through Friday, July 5th. So we look forward to Vacation Bible Time this year. Let us pray also. We have an intern that's strongly considering and praying about coming, but it's a big step of faith for him and his wife because it would mean leaving his job for a while and possibly stepping out into assistant pastoring permanently. So let us pray for this young couple. I believe his name is John. Pray as he prays for the Lord's will for them. And he is Paul Raines' wife's sister's husband. So our evangelist that came, it's her sister's husband who's strongly considering this. So let us pray for him. As the Lord would provide the right man for the internship. Then, praise the Lord, Robert Archer was married, I believe, yesterday. Is that correct?
No, next Friday.
Oh, next Friday. Okay, for some reason I got him crossed. Okay, so he's getting married this coming Friday. So let's pray for Robert and his bride as they celebrate their special day. All right, this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this morning of our tithes and offerings to God. Let us give to God cheerfully as He has given all things for us. And He is worthy of all of our praise, including that 10%, that tithe, because He will then make up and provide more than our 100% would ever go, because He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and He will rebuke the devourer for our sake. Our cars won't wear out as fast. Our clothes, our possessions won't wear out, because the Lord is going to rebuke the devil to not wear them out, because we are giving to God and working for Him, and He provides in so many different ways for us. Let us bow together in prayer as we give to God this morning.
Dear Lord, thank You for the day of the money about to receive the Lord. This is my prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Members of the program to come on up as we present our Easter program this year. My eyes have seen the Savior. It's also good to have my mom, Sheila Ingram, and my stepdad, Steve Ingram, here with us from Pennsylvania. So it's good to have them.
Officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas. The chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they bound him, they had led him away and delivered him unto Pontius Pilate the governor.
Pilate then went out unto them and said,
What accusation bring ye against this man?
They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them,
Take ye him, and judge him according to your law.
The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Jesus answered him,
Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?
Pilate answered,
Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?
Jesus answered,
My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world,
then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence.
Pilate therefore said unto him,
Art thou a king then?
Jesus answered,
Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice.
Pilate saith unto him,
What is truth?
And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto them,
I find in him no fault at all. Examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him.
And they cried out all at once, saying, And they cried, saying,
Crucify him! Crucify him!
And Pilate gave sentence that he should be as they required.
Now, O Lord,
conscience be compassion be with me.
I sat on the roadside, a man. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And he, bearing the cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus,
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said,
Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.
Thank you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with great prayer and joy, and did run to see his disciples, gave his disciples word.
Crucifixion. Now we're going to look at how they viewed Jesus at the resurrection. And I believe it gives us great examples of how we should view Jesus today. Oftentimes we think of the Bible heroes, the men and women of the faith in the Bible, as somehow that they're super Christians, and we are, you know, we're just inferior because of time, because they walked with Jesus, we don't see him personally, and all those factors. But you know what? They were men and women and young people just like you and I. And that was their time to live. God had ordained that that was their time to live. But this is our time to live. And as it says in Esther, it says that who knows that if you were born and you came into, as Mordecai reminded Esther, that you were chosen as queen for such a time as this. That you and I are here in 2019 living today for such a time as this. God has put us in our families, placed us perfectly, right where we are, to lead our family members to Christ. God has placed us in our communities, in our jobs, in our neighborhoods, in our retirement, perfectly to lead people to Christ. And so we see here that these weren't super Christians. They were ordinary believers, just like you and I. But I believe we can see some great things from their examples of how they looked at Jesus. John 19, verse 38, let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be reminded of these great truths from your words, that Jesus Christ, our Savior, is alive.
Amen.
That he has risen from the dead, even as he prophesied. And as all the Old Testament writers prophesied for us, that he would die on the cross and rise again in 3 days. We thank you for such a living hope that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ, just like we see in the spring, that the seeds are planted, the bulbs are in the ground, and they come up. Well, just like that, we know our bodies one day into this earth to arise at the first resurrection. Lord, we look forward to such great things at the second resurrection. We look forward to great things that you have in store for us, taking us to heaven and all those wonderful things. And I pray if there's anyone here who doesn't yet truly know they were to die today, where they would go, that they would trust Christ as their Savior. We pray for each Christian here today. You'd help us to learn more about you so that we can praise you and draw closer to you this week. In Jesus' name, amen. John 19, verse 38, it says, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrhs and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand." So here we see Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. How did they view Jesus? These were men of wealth. They had jobs as Pharisees, as part of the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, that they were the religious leaders of Israel at that time. On the whole, most of their co-workers rejected Jesus. They said, "No, we don't want to believe he's the Messiah. We're the ones who are the spiritual leaders of Israel. We're the ones who are supposed to teach the people, not him. He's an imposter. He must be an imposter. He healed people on the Sabbath day. Can you believe that?" In their staunch hypocrisy, they pointed their fingers at Jesus. Is not the Sabbath made for spiritual work? Is not the Sabbath made to lighten the burden of those who have an affliction? Is it not for healing? Jesus contended with them. And of course, Jesus' argument wins the day anytime. That the Sabbath is not for man, but man for the Sabbath. Jesus set people free on the Sabbath, both spiritually and physically. And that's the same day now has transitioned into Sunday. On the first day of the week, we now worship Jesus on Sunday. And it is a day for helping people come out of their spiritual sin sickness to the Savior. And it's a day for salvation. It's a day for encouragement. It's a day for Christians to grow in the Lord. And so all these wonderful things that we do on Sundays. So we see Joseph and Nicodemus sided with Jesus. Joseph believed on Jesus as his Savior. Nicodemus, you know, Jesus was the perfect soul winner. You know, if you ever had a perfect soul winner, it was Jesus. Everyone he talked to one-on-one, guess what? In the Scriptures, they got saved. Most of them. The rich young ruler, he got right to his heart. He was the one who said, oh, and he went away sad. You know, but Jesus was a great example in soul winning. One-on-one in John 3 with Nicodemus, he led Nicodemus to the Lord as a rabbi, as one of the Sanhedrin who came to Jesus that night searching for how to get to heaven. He knew his good works couldn't take him there. And then Jesus led the woman at the well to himself in John chapter 4. So if we want to learn about winning people to Jesus, we look at the example of Christ as he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And we need to do that. There is no Christian who is being obedient to God and following the Holy Spirit in their life who is not seeking to win souls. It's impossible. Okay? It's impossible. Why? Well, we can read our Bible, we can pray every day, we can go to church, we can give in the offering plate. But guess what? That's not all. We need to seek out our unsaved friends, neighbors, and loved ones to win them to Christ.
Amen.
That is part of following Jesus. And so, sure enough, Joseph is an example. Nicodemus is an example of Jesus' soul-winning efforts. And so we see here they brought... Joseph gave him his whole new tomb. Who knows how much that would have cost? Probably in our day today, thousands upon thousands of dollars, if not in the millions. It was right there in Jerusalem, right outside of Jerusalem proper. It was hand hewn out of a rock. Can you imagine the expense of that? It was in a perfect location there in the garden. It was in a perfect location where they could put Jesus, where the ladies could come to him in the morning, and it was so beautiful that Mary thought Jesus was the gardener taking care of the tomb. So this was of the utmost and highest expense to Joseph. But did Joseph care about that? Number one this morning, we need to see Jesus as priceless, like Joseph and Nicodemus. Nicodemus brought Jesus 100 pounds of spices, of aloes, and myrrh, and all the other fragrances and fine spices. This 100 pounds, I mean, 1 pound would have cost a fortune. Can you imagine 100 pounds of that? To anoint. They said, nothing is too good for our Lord. Nothing is too good for Jesus. I wonder if you and I can say that this morning. Can you and I truly say that? Nothing is too good for my Lord? Or do we say with stinginess, oh, I can't give Jesus my tithe. I can't give him some of my income because I need it. I need it because I have to have it. Well, you know what? We need to see Jesus as priceless. He can do more with your money than you can do yourself. He can do much more with your money than you and I can do ourselves. That we have a tendency to hoard as misers our possessions, our monies, our talents, our time, and we say, oh, no, I can't do for God. No, I don't have time to go to church and help with that. No, I see there's a need around the building. I don't have time to help with that project because I have got to do everything for myself. And we carve out our time to do all of our things. And we see on those weeks that we are selfish and we do all the things we need to get done. Do we ever really get it done in the 7-day week? We don't. We constantly run out of time. We constantly have things that should have gotten done but didn't get done. What happened? Well, because as misers we said, Jesus, you're worth a lot, but you're not worth everything. You're not priceless. And so we realize that, hey, anything we hold back from God is sin. And we're going to have to give an account for it one day at the judgment seat of Christ. And don't say, oh, Pastor, you probably won't have... No, I have enough to give an account for that I have done. But we need to get to the point in our Christian lives that we need to say, you know what, enough is enough. I don't want to have to keep giving account for sinful choices that I make of withholding from God my time, my talents, my possessions, or my monies. That I need to trust God, just like He has entrusted it to me. I need to entrust it back to Him. And guess what? At the judgment seat of Christ one day, as we
kneel before the throne of Jesus and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, he'll be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I entrusted that job to you. I entrusted those possessions. I gave them specifically for you to use for me, and you managed them well as a good steward of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be able to say that one day to Joseph and Nicodemus at the judgment seat. Joseph, I gave you that new tomb. I gave you the money to buy it. You used it for me. Well done. If Joseph would have said, no, Lord, God, what are you asking me to do? I know Jesus, your son is dying on the cross, but I need that. Don't you know I'm going to die, you know? I'm going to die someday, and I spent a fortune on that, and my family, you know, what about my wife and kids? What about my other family members? You know, I need that tomb. What if Joseph of Arimathea would have said that? What would we be hearing about today? We'd be hearing of someone else donating a tomb. We'd hear about someone else, not Nicodemus, we'd hear about someone else giving 100 pounds of spices. Because God is going to lay it on somebody else's heart if we don't do it. But we need to listen to the voice of God. As we read the Bible and pray, we need to listen to the voice of God. We need to be obedient to His call. Yes, Lord. Wow, okay, you want the tomb? I'll give it. Nothing is too good for you, Jesus. We need to see Jesus this morning as priceless. Oh, okay, Lord, you want me to go help with that project? Okay, Lord, you want me to take time out of my week on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, go to church? Lord, nothing is too good for you. I will gladly do that. You want me to pray for my family member? I will gladly do that. Lord, you want me to study your word each day? I will gladly do that. Nothing is too good for you. You are worth all of my praise. All of my glory, all of my time and possessions, you are worth it all, Lord. That's what Nicodemus and Joseph said with their lives. John chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Here we need to see, this morning, number two, we need to see Jesus as worth seeking, both for salvation and then every day of our lives, like the women. You realize Mary, and the other Mary, and the wife of Cleophas, didn't say, okay, the soldiers have the tomb guarded. We didn't get to adequately be able to do everything we wanted to do to his body because it was rushed from 3 p.m. when he died to 6 p.m. We had to get him in the tomb. Yes, it was rushed. But, you know, let's do it next week. My body aches, you know. Oh, I've got pain. It's too early. You know, I don't want to wake up this morning. You know, all the excuses we give to God for why He's not worth seeking in His Word, right? Well, oh, I woke up late. Lord, you understand I don't have time to read your Word, right? Okay. Tomorrow I'll try to get to it. You know, all the excuses that we give to God for why we can't seek Him every day. Well, here, these women, they said, no. We didn't get to anoint Him properly. We didn't get to take care of His body properly. This is our Lord. We're going to go early in the morning. They went up to the tomb before the sun was up. They went up there while it was very early in the morning. They said, hey, let's go. We had the Thursday Passover, and we had the Saturday Sabbath Passover, Saturday Sabbath, we had the Thursday Sabbath. It's time. We need to get back to the tomb. We had 3 days for ourselves. There is no more time. We've got to do it now. That's what we need to say. We need, every day, we need to see Jesus as worth seeking. Number one, for salvation. If you haven't been saved yet, if you don't know Christ as Savior yet, He is worth seeking for salvation because He is the only one who loved you enough to die on that old rugged cross. He's the only one who went through the ridicule. You know, Herod, all Herod wanted to do with him was see a magic trick. Hey, Jesus, you know, I heard a lot about you. Show me how you're the Messiah. And Jesus answered him not a word. Why? What had Herod done? Well, Herod had already killed John the Baptist. He had cut off the voice of God in his life. John the Baptist said, Herod, it's wicked what you have done, taking your brother Philip's wife to yourself as your wife. That's wicked. You need to repent of it and give her back. And what did Herod say? Get this guy in prison. I don't want to hear about it. I liked him before. I liked to hear what he had to say. I was interested when he was preaching about Jesus. But now he's preaching against me. I don't like that. Get him in prison. You know, sometimes we react like that to conviction. Instead of listening to the voice of God through the preacher or through the Christian that's trying to rebuke us and reprove us and help us in the Christian life, we say, that person, I don't like them. Well, that's what Herod did. Herod went after the messenger instead of obeying the Lord, repenting of his sin and believing on Jesus as his Savior. Instead, then later on, the devil used his wife's Herodias, who he had taken and stolen, her daughter, to have John the Baptist's head on a platter. He put to death the voice of God in his life. And what did Jesus answer to him 2 years later? Nothing. Not a word. He had cut off the voice of God from his life, so Jesus said, okay, you treat my prophet like that, I'm not going to say anything to you. We need to reverence the Word of God in our life. We need to say, you know what, Lord? Whatever you say, I will obey. I don't want to hold back from you. Lord, if you tell me to do something, I'm going to do it. We need to have a reverence for the Scriptures. Some people accuse some believers of worshiping the Bible. Well, you know what? Jesus said in the Psalms, I will praise thy word. Okay? No, we're not worshiping a book. We're worshiping what God gave to us in the book. The Word of God is holy and pure and undefiled, and it is God breathed to us. How we treat our Bibles is how we're treating Jesus. Do you realize that? It's how we're treating Jesus. He said, I am the Word. That He is the living Word. How we treat our Bibles is how we're treating Jesus in our life. And so here Herod said, don't want to hear John the Baptist. Don't want to hear conviction. Don't want to hear the Word of God. Well, Jesus said, then I have nothing more to say to you. And He just stared at Herod and just answered not a word. And so Herod said, get him away, get him away. I don't see anything wrong. Get him out. He was convicted. How sad. If Herod didn't repent of his sin and believe on Christ, Herod is now in hell, burning in the lake of fire. As Christians, thankfully, we may at times reject the Bible and its words to us, but thankfully there's still time to repent of that and confess our sin and forsake it. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't listen to your word. I realized it was convicting, and I went after the messenger instead of listening to the message. Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And we go back to that and say, thank you. Thank you for rebuking me. Thank you for exhorting me. I love you. Please keep doing it. We need to love those who tell us the truth. Jesus said, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know, we like to put friends around us who just tell us, we're doing everything great, we look great, we act great, and everything's great. Well, you know what? That's not what we need. We need friends, believers, who will tell us the truth about ourselves. When we're doing good things for God, great. They'll encourage us. When we're not doing things good things for God, they'll rebuke us. That's the kind of friend we need. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. We need people to tell us the truth. Speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, that's what we need to do for each other. Well, that's what Jesus did for everyone in His life. He gave them the truth, and they were set free by the truth. Not what they wanted to hear, but the truth. And so we see Jesus as worth seeking for salvation, and then every day of our life, like Mary and the women. And then number 3, we see verse 3, Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. Yet went he not in. Here's John outrunning Peter. Peter might have been a little more portly. John a little faster, skinnier. And he comes first and he sees the linen clothes lying and he says, "Whoa, Peter." He's a little slower, but he gets there and he doesn't stop to look. He goes right in. Peter was close to Jesus because he was very open and honest with Jesus and up front with Jesus. And he was quick to say he was wrong when Jesus rebuked him and said, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." What did Peter do as soon as he heard the cock crowing at midnight? "Oh Lord, what have I done?" And he went out and wept bitterly. See, Peter knew what he did and he wasn't afraid to acknowledge it. That's what we need to do. We need to see our sin as wicked and offensive toward our holy God and say, "Lord, what have I done? I'm sorry." And we need to repent and confess it as Peter did. And he went in holy boldness. Notice we see nothing holding him back. "I want to see my Lord." And John coming in. And it says in verse 6, "Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself." Here, something special had happened. Jesus, as he rose from the grave, let the linen clothes fall, but he took the napkin that was about his head. You know, the details of the Lord Jesus to show to his weak disciples. You know, we sometimes think, oh, we have to be real strong like the disciples. Well, guess what? The disciples were weak like you and I. They weren't perfect people. They had their own doubts and fears and besetting sins in their life. Well, and so here he said, now this is for Peter and John as they come in. And he carefully folds the napkin covering his face. That cloth covering his face, he folds it nice and neat and puts that at the head where he was lying. Why did Jesus take time to do that as he rose from the grave? For this reason. Verse 8, "Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead." Here we see they hadn't put it all together yet. They hadn't connected the prophecies of the Old Testament and what Jesus said in his ministry that he would rise again after 3 days. They didn't put it all together yet. They put it all together when they saw the linen clothes just askew as they came off his body, and then the folded napkin. They said, "Wait, we know what that means. We saw Jesus do that all the time at dinner." It was a Jewish custom when they would eat a meal that if they were done with the dinner, they'd take the napkin that you use to wipe your face and your hands. Well, they'd take that napkin, and when they're done the meal, they just put it in a pile with the plate. Okay, and it's askew, and that means they're done. Done with the meal. Okay, well, they watched Jesus before. He had to go out, and if he was coming back to finish the dinner, he would carefully fold that napkin and then place it next to his plate. And that was a Jewish custom to show everyone, whoever was serving them, whoever's home they were in, that was a Jewish custom to say, "Hey, I'm coming back. Don't take my plate. Don't take my food yet. I'm not done." Well, Jesus carefully folded that napkin, put it at the headpiece of the tomb there to say to Peter and John, "Hey, I'm coming back. I'm alive. I'm not dead. I have carefully placed this here to show you I am coming back again. I am alive forever
more. What a beautiful picture Jesus gave to Peter and John. So we need to see, number three, we need to see Jesus as the risen Savior like Peter and John. They didn't connect all the prophecies. They didn't, you know, they weren't the scholar types yet. They were very scholarly later. They wrote 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. John wrote the Gospel of John and Revelation. They weren't the scholars yet. They hadn't pieced it all together. But when they saw that folded napkin, they said, "He's alive!" And they left. Whoa! What did we just see? And they ran. They ran. They said, "Can it be true? What did we just see?" They were so excited. We need to see Jesus excitedly. Not just, "Oh, yeah, it's Sunday again." No! Jesus saved us from our sin. Jesus has risen from the grave. We're going to go up. We're going to the pearly gates. We're going to the mansions. We're going to glory one day. We need to be shouting about it and excited, telling our friends, our neighbors, and our loved ones. You can't keep a Christian down that's being Spirit-filled, that's reading their Bible each day and praying and praising God and keeping their sins confessed. Soon as they sin, "Oh Lord, what have I done? Please forgive me, I don't want to do that anymore." And they get right back up and walk with God. You can't keep a Spirit-filled Christian down and not excited about Jesus. Why? Because it is exciting to commune with Jesus every day. And we need to see Jesus excitedly as the risen Savior like Peter and John. They didn't leave no time. They left and they said, "Whoa, I can't believe this. Hey, let's tell them. I can't believe it. This is great." Excited. Verse 10. "Then the disciples went away again unto their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping." The other ladies had left by that point. Mary, the other two Marys and the wife of Cleophas, they left by that point. "And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre." Wait, it wasn't the vision that Peter and John saw of the folded napkin and just the linen clothes. She looks in and God gives her a different view. She sees two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. "And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus." So here God gives a different glimpse of Christ's resurrection to each need. Peter and John had the need to see the folded napkin. Mary Magdalene needed to see him in person. Mary Magdalene needed a different glimpse. Aren't you glad that our Lord gives us the glimpse that we need of Him through the Scriptures? Some are excited about this passage. Others are excited about that passage. Others are excited about this other passage over here. Well, why? Because God made us all different with different spiritual giftings and different ways that our brains are wired and different ways we respond and are motivated. Well, guess what? It's all in here. It's all in here. Whatever gets you going for God is right in here from Genesis to Revelation. He wants to give you your excitement. He wants to give you that new verse to claim each day. But it's up to us whether we're going to read it or not. It's up to us whether we're going to claim it or not. Whether we're going to look at it or not. Well, here, Mary Magdalene, she saw Jesus, number four, as worthy of all worship and praise. She didn't want to just, she wasn't content with going back like the other three women. "Well, he's not here. And he is risen." They saw the first angel and the other three went back. She said, no. "Well, maybe he's not. I don't want to leave this place because this is where he was when I last saw him." And she was distraught. Well, here she thought that she saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Here we see Jesus was so much like every normal male Jew that he didn't stand out in a special way. He wasn't this super handsome personality. He didn't have this super smile that you'd immediately know that's Jesus. He didn't. No, he hath no form nor comeliness. that those who, that we who see him should desire him. You know, that people weren't drawn to his physical features. You say, well, I'm not very pretty, or I'm not very handsome. Well, guess what? That doesn't matter to God. He made you the way you are for a reason. It's not the outer you that's important. It's the inner you that's important. God gave us the body he gave us and the features he gave us for a reason. It's the inner us that's important that will come out on our face as we walk with God. And we can radiate and beam his love from our face. And so here we see Mary Magdalene, verse 15, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? You can see Jesus' words of tenderness. As she's searching for him, she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Gardener, you know, tell me where you put his body, and I'll gladly go take care of him. We're here to anoint him. You know, I'll go take care of his body. Please, I just want to see him. Even if it's just his outer shell, I want to be near him. Mary Magdalene had gone through a lot in her life. She had 7 devils in her. She had 7 demons inhabiting her body. She made a lot of money for her handlers. They used her and abused her, and the devil used her and abused her. She had been through a lot, probably through fortune-telling and through any manner of devilry and sorcery. She had been through a lot in her life. So when Jesus came to Magdala, to the upper coasts of northern Israel, and preached to her and cast out the demons out of her body, she said from that day forward, I'm not going anywhere else but with Jesus. I am following him. He is the one who set me free from my sins. I wonder how many of us can say that today. Maybe we've been saved 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and maybe it's just, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a believer. Yeah, the Lord saved me, but it's not that special anymore. You couldn't tell that to Mary Magdalene. Every day, she wanted to be near Jesus. She wanted to be in the close proximity so she could hear his voice, hear his teachings, hear his preaching, and be sold out for God. And so sure enough, she said, just show me where his body is. I want to properly anoint his body, and you know, I'll take care of the body. I'll put it wherever it needs to go. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She saw Jesus. She saw her Lord. And she was so happy. She was so happy. And of course, her immediate response, what would you and I do if we saw our Savior alive again, who saved us from all our sin? Immediately, she wants to touch him, you know, hold it, you know, shake his hand, perhaps hug him, whatever else. Jesus being proper, okay? The world tries to cast aspersions on Jesus all the time. Do you notice that? They try any way they can to cast aspersions on the perfect Lord Jesus by saying, oh, you know, he had a relationship, and oh, his parents were had him as a natural birth, and oh, all these things. They tried to cast sin on Jesus Christ, and you know what? It never sticks, and it never will. Do you know why? Because he is the perfect Son of God. He is who he says he is. The world will try to hate your Jesus. The world will try to say, oh no, you're not a believer. You're not any different than I am. I am just like you. And you say, no, I used to be like that. But Jesus saved me. He set me free from those sins. And I love him. And you know what they're going to say? They're going to say, why? What? What are you doing? You're not the same as me. And you don't love the I do. You don't love the sins I do. You don't love to go to the bar. You don't love to do drugs. You don't love to smoke. You don't love to do all the dirty things that we do over here. Why? And they are drawn to Jesus through your hatred of sin. They are drawn to Jesus. And so just keep loving on them, telling about Jesus, because they're coming.
They're coming. Maybe tomorrow, maybe a year, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years, however long the Lord tarries. But remember, every day Jesus is seeking and saving those who are lost. The long suffering of our Lord is salvation to them that believe. That people are getting saved every day, and so the Holy Spirit is drawing men unto Christ. All we have to do is lift Him up in our life. Hey, look at my Lord. He is so perfect, but I am not. But look at Him. All we have to do is point Jesus to Christ, lift Him up in our life, and sure enough, the Holy Spirit will draw all men unto Him. And sure enough, Jesus is the Master. And Mary Magdalene, she immediately wanted to touch Him just as a comfort. But Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father." Jesus was propitious with Mary Magdalene because He knew what the world would do. Are you kidding? Jesus saw their aspersions and accusations from before time began. From the beginning of the world, from before the foundations of the world, Jesus knew what the unsaved world would try to do to get Him trapped. And He saw them all a million miles away. And He had the perfect answer for everyone. The lawyers tried to say to Jesus, "Oh, Jesus, whose superscription is on this coin?" You know, and Jesus said, "Give unto Caesar, rend unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, render unto God the things that are God's." He always had the perfect answer. Well, here, He knew that Mary, in her natural physical response, would want to at least touch His hand or do something. But Jesus said, "No, I am not yet ascended to my Father." He couldn't be touched yet, because He had not yet ascended to His Father. He made His first appearance to her to affirm because of her seeking of Him, but yet He was propitious. "But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary, all you need to do is see me. That's all you need. I'm going to my Father. Tell the others. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that He had spoken these things unto her. We need to see Jesus as worthy of all worship and praise, like Mary Magdalene. Then verse 19, the last one, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Here we see number 5. We need to see Jesus as comforting and with gladness. He comforts us in our problems, our pains, our trials and tribulations. This life is full of disappointments. This life is full of pain and suffering because we have a physical body that is decaying and growing old and one day will tire out. But aren't you glad that Jesus is our comfort? He has given us the Comforter. He said, "It is expedient that I should go, that I may send you another Comforter." That Jesus said, "You know, no, it's important that I go back to my Father, because you need the Holy Spirit who will be with you in your body every day that you live, comforting you, convicting you, helping you, teaching you, guiding you into all truth through the Word of God." Jesus said it's important that you listen to the Comforter. We have the Holy Spirit in our heart right now. What is He saying to you this morning? What is He saying to me this morning? We need to listen. We need to obey. So we need to see Jesus as comforting, and yet we also need to see Him with gladness. They were glad. They were so glad. He showed unto them His hands and His side. He said, "Look, reach in there. Look." Thomas wasn't there yet. Thomas skipped church that Sunday. He missed church that Sunday night. That Sunday morning, he showed himself to Mary Magdalene. Then he went up to the Father. And then he came that night, had the first church service after he rose. And guess who wasn't there? Judas wasn't there. But Thomas skipped church too. And he had to he had to go through misery and depression and discouragement for a whole week till the next Sunday. So, you know, the church service we skip, the church service we miss, may be the one that the Lord has just that right message for you that you need. It's always going to be the right message for you that you need. Why? Because whenever the Word of God is opened, we learn and grow more. You say, well, pastor's preaching on this, and that, you know, that may be good for other people, but it's not good for me. You don't know what comments, what things the Holy Spirit is going to direct in that message. You don't know what's going to take place in the testimony time tonight, or the song time tonight, or the fellowship before and afterward with other believers, that you are going to get your needs met. So let's not skip church and be like Thomas and be a week behind and sad for a week. They were glad because they saw Jesus. Every time the doors of this church are opened, we are glad because, Lord willing, Jesus is lifted up and we see Him again. And so let us always be not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Lord's coming back. We don't know how many church services we're going to have left. We don't know how many weeks we're going to have left in our life. Jesus is coming back. We see the signs around us that are pointing to His soon return. So let's be faithful to Him. Let's be obedient to Him. Let's get our families in place so they can be blessed of the Lord. Let's get our families fed. Let's care about not just their body. Oh, yeah, oh, you need that? Those clothes? Okay, I'll buy it for you. We may clothe their body. We may feed their body. We may provide for their body. But if we're not providing for their soul and their spirit, and that is getting malnourished because of our disobedience as fathers and husbands in our homes, shame on us. Shame on us. We need to provide for our families by bringing them to church. Not just sending them, bringing them to church. You say, well, my husband's not here. Well, you step in as the spiritual leader, wife, lady whom God loves. You be the spiritual leader until He takes up that mantle. And even if He never does, guess what? God's going to equip you and give you everything you need to be the spiritual leader to bring your family to God and keep them before the throne of God in prayer and in learning of God. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed as we close this service this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Rex, you know, I don't know if I've ever yet truly trusted Christ as my own personal Lord and Savior. If I've ever had a day in my life like Nicodemus where I was born again, that I had a spiritual birthday and repented of my sins and believed on Christ as my Savior. But I would like to do that today. If that's you, just flip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you see. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved yet. I don't know if I'm a child of God, but I would like to know today. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you're seated. As a Christian, you say, Pastor, I've already done that. I've already been born again. Are you excited about the Lord? Are you worshiping the Lord in gladness, in the truth of God's Word, in obedience? Or is there something keeping you in your life? A choice. Choices. Sinful practices, sinful areas that is keeping you from letting God fill you with His Spirit and flow through you to others. If that's you, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to do business with God this morning. I want to confess and forsake something that the Lord has showed me this morning. I want to get it before His throne and under the blood. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there, you're seated. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to be reminded of these wonderful truths from the Scriptures that Jesus, Your Son, is worthy of all of our time, talent, possessions, worship, praise, excitement, energy, everything that we possess, He is worthy of, and that we should give to Him each day. Lord, we pray You'd help us to respond like these men and ladies did. Lord, we praise You that you have sent Jesus as our risen Savior. We pray that You would be now at this invitation time, Lord, that there will be nothing between us and the Savior. And that if there is, that we can get it confessed and forsaken to walk with You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us turn to our hymn book as we close this service. Hymn number 185. 185. And if you need to come for any reason, perhaps you'd like to kneel at the altar, would you come as we sing this song, 185, Jesus Paid It All. If you want to come and sit in the front row or just kneel there in, or sit there in your seat, 185. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. Let us do business with God.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Out of weakness, want, and pray, God in thee, thine all in all. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin has left a precious stain, he washed it bright as snow.
Would you come as we sing that second?
Lord, now indeed I find.
Sister Patty being here with us after 7 months of Lazarus. We missed her dearly, and she is one of our family. And thank you to all who have reached out and helped her and are continuing to help her. And let us pray that God continues to provide her needs until she can come back fully with us consistently. And let us pray for one another. Let us close in prayer at this time. Brother Danny, would you close us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message. Remember, Lord, to recall a special event, a special act that you did for us, Lord, the sacrifice that you did for us, that you provided for us eternal salvation through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you for that salvation that you provide for us. We thank you, Lord, that you are Almighty God and you have the power to go into the depths of hell and to come out again, Lord. You are alive today and forever, Lord, and that one day we will be together with you.
Amen.
And we look forward to that day, Lord, that, we can, that you will return and you will come for us, Lord, and be together forevermore. We ask that you help us, Lord, to recall this not just today, not just on Easter, Lord, but every day, to keep it always applicable in our hearts, Lord, that that we always remember the sacrifice that you did for us, Lord. That, Lord, it's a daily struggle with us in the flesh that we tend to look for excuses, Lord, and that we ask that you forgive us for that, Lord, and help us to always remove those excuses and put you first, and to return to that first love that we had when we first became saved, Lord. Help us to always remain in that fire in our hearts, Lord, and that we can follow you and serve you, Lord, and be a blessing unto others, those that are around us, Lord. Help us always to take advantage of those opportunities to share with them, Lord, your word, and they too can enjoy the gift of salvation that we have as well. Thank you, Lord, and we ask that you guide and direct us as we go our ways.
And one more thing, it just brought to my attention, there were over 200 killed this morning as they went to church in Sri Lanka. We need to pray for the country, but specifically the born-again Christians that are there. Many of them had to leave, not go to church today due to the problems, due to the terrorism that's going on there. So I'm going to ask my stepdad, Steve Ingram, if he would pray for the families of the over 200 killed this morning.
Heavenly Father, we just pray that you comfort their hearts, and I don't even know how to relate to feelings like that. We have this freedom to worship in this country, and we thank you for that.
Yes.
We pray it be preserved in Christ.
Amen.